Lakuta Sichas Cheluk Yud Aleph, Parsha Va'era, Sicha Beis. Bekesher l'makas Orev, Shehevi HaKadosh Baruch Hu al Mitzrayim, in connection with the Makkah of Orev, which Hashem brought upon the Mitzrayim, Mesupah b'Parsha Seinu, it's told in our Parsha, Shehakadosh Baruch Hu tzivu l'Moshe lema l'Pari, that Hashem told Moshe to say to Pari, Ki im eincha m'shaleach es ami, if you do not send forth my nation, Hinini mashliach b'cha b'goymer, I will set against you, etc. As ha'arev, the potpourri, the mixture. Umalu bote Mitzrayim as ha'arev, and the homes of Mitzrayim will be filled from this mixture. B'gam ha'adoma asher aleha, and also the earth upon which they are will also be filled with the arev, the mixture. Rashi bepirushay. So Rashi explains, Matik min akosef es ha-tevis, he quotes from the pasuk the words, Mashliach becha, I will set against you. Those are the words he quotes. And Mefarish, and he explains, Megare becha, which means set against you, incite against you. V'chein, and so also we find a pasuk that says, V'shen behemes ha-shalach bam, and the tooth of the animals I will set against them. Loshon shisui, it's from the word of incitement, to incite against them. And he gives the French word, which actually similar, sounds like incite, inciter. Uba pashtus kavanasa. So this is what Rashi says. What he means to say, it would seem, is levar shetevas mashliach enem loshon shiluach, that in this case, the word over here, mashliach b'cha, is not from the word send, k'moy im ein chamishaleach, like just in this pasuk itself, but chilus kosa ze'atzmei, like in this very pasuk it says, because if you do not send forth my people, I will mashliach b'cha, I will send. So it's not from the same word, I will send, eloshu meloshin girui, but what it means is, I will incite. Al derech al tizgaru bam, like it's Hashem said to the Eden that they shouldn't incite with a fight with this nation or that nation and so on. V'chein diyukim v'kama diyukim machrichim piruzen. There's a number of, when you focus on the words of the pasuk, it's obvious that the word mashliach does not mean send, but it means incite. Number one is im mashliach hu b'muvin shel shiluach, because if the word mashliach were from the same word as send, hayitzarach lias kosov mishaleach, then it should have said mishaleach without a yud, not mashliach with a yud. K'may b'tchilas ha-pasuk, similar to what is at the beginning of the pasuk, mishaleach, if you do not send forth my people, I will send against you, and I will mishaleach against you the oriv. But it says mashliach, so therefore it must mean something else. Beis, b'loshon shlichus masim yeisa leimem mashliach es ha'arev boch. It would make more grammatical sense that it should say mashliach es ha'arev. In other words, what is he going to send should be said right after he sends it. And boch, that's who I'm going to send it against. So it's a meres. Hanishlach, that which will be sent, which is the ha'arev, and then he should specify to whom it will be sent. For instance, it says further in the pasuk, Hashem says to Pare, I will send all of my plagues to your heart. So it says first what he's going to send, the plagues, and then it says where he's going to send it, to his heart. So also here it should say mashliach es ha'arev b'cha, rather than mashliach b'cha es ha'arev. That is, if it meant to send, mashenkinim u'meloshin gira, but if we accept that the word mashliach means to incite, harei tevas b'cha mechuberes l'mashliach, then the word b'cha, incite against you, is together, goes together. Who is he going to incite against? The incitement is the b'cha, paroi, is the subject of the incitement. That's who he's going to incite against. because the word b'cha goes together with incite against you. It's one long string of words, incite against you. Not just that it will be to you to whom I will send. That's in that case it should be after ha'arev, because he's sending the arev to whom? To pare. But if it means inciting against you, that goes together, and then it makes more sense that mashliach goes together with b'cha. That he is inciting a wild animal against so and so, and therefore, in this case, mashliach b'chol makes more sense. Number three, imamuvan u'shlichus, if it meant sending, masim loyma mashliach lecha, I would send to you, not into you. Haroi mashliach elecha, or send lecha or elecha, which both mean to you. V'loy mashliach b'chol, it shouldn't say I'm sending them into you. Aval im muvanegiri, but if it means, if the word mashliach means to incite, masim abita mashliach b'cha, then of course incite against you b'cha makes perfect sense. Umipnei beis time amachreinim, but for the reasons of the 2 second points, ma'atik Rashi minakosiv gam tevas b'cha. That's why Rashi quotes the word not only mashliach but also b'cha, because the proof comes from the word b'cha. Even though he's really only explaining the word mashliach and explaining what that means, that it means to incite. Shepirusha megara. V'gam achakach b'firusha yukesev al haposuk megara b'cha. And also in his explanation, not only does he quote the word b'cha, but he also says b'cha within the Rashi. Kizo chelik mena hechrech shakavon b'mashliach hi megara. Because this is part of the proof that the word mashliach means to incite, as he brought both the second and third point were about b'cha, not licha, but b'cha, and so on. And why is b'cha written here and not there? So that would seem to be the simple explanation of what Rashi is saying here. Omnon tzarech lo mepirush Rashi zeh, but we have to understand more about this Rashi. Number one. Loma maybe raya lepirushay ma'kosav sheba parshas ha'azinu. Why does he go to parshas ha'azinu where it says v'shem behemis avshalach bam? The loyim ma'shakosav kaidem lezeh, not from something that was written earlier than that in parsha b'chukaisay. V'yishlachti b'chemes chayis asodan, I will send against you the animals of the field. So, but there also v'yishlachti is the same idea that avshalach means to send animals against them. Why does he go all the way to Hazinu instead of going to B'chukaisai? Ubiyaisa Yuksha, more of a question. Kiktima lahabi kasav ze gamitzad prat noisav. It seems that it would be more a better choice to bring the pasuk from B'chukaisai for another reason, not only because it comes first. But Makas Arev, the reason is B'makas Arev are meduba begiru chayas, because in Arev, of course, he was sending wild animals. So also in B'chukaisa he's talking about sending, inciting wild animals. But there it says domesticated animals, not wild animals. So why? It would seem that the similarity between the pasuk and B'chukaisa is even closer to the pasuk over here, more so than the one in Hazinu. Is another thing. After he's explained already that it means to megara, which means set against. Why does he have to add more words? Loshen shisui, that it means in sight. And you can't say that. Maybe megara is not well enough understood either, that he has to explain it better by using another word, insight. Can say that because, number one, tevas shisi eini yaduim avenesul tamud yaisim tevas megara, because there's no reason that the student would be more familiar with the word shisui, insight, than he is with megara, set against you. So he can't be explaining megara with using a equally complicated word. To the contrary, the word megara is found a number of times in the Torah, whereas the word shisui isn't found even once in the Chumash. In other words, that even if the student doesn't know about that word yet, but it's obvious that a word which never appears in the Torah is less familiar than a word which does appear a number of times in the Torah. Number two, lefize havali lahasmich loshen shisui lemagarabach. If that was the case, that he was trying to explain megara, that it means shisui, then he should have written immediately shisui loshen megara shisui. And only after that to quote the pasuk. Why does he insert the pasuk in between megara and the word shisui? If Rashi doesn't think the word megara is well enough understood and shisui is more familiar, then why not just use shisui, meshasabach, instead of megarabach? Because that's a better word, as it seems from the fact that he follows up Megara with Shisui. So then why say Megara altogether? And perhaps you would want to answer that by adding the word Shisui comes to emphasize something. Since the word Mashliach means megare mekol makom edin didan ein ze giri l'chud, Rashi is trying to say that it's not only the simple set against ella gam loshen shisa, but even more that it means to incite lefiza adayin kasha, because that would still lead the question beis hanal, the second question before, why does he the word shisa should have come right after megare in Rashi. And another thing, how does Rashi know this? This in itself leaves a question. How does Rashi know shamashmos kan hu gam shisui noisav megara, that in this case the word mashliach not only means megara, but it means even further shisui? How does Taka Rashi know that it means the secondary thing as well? Now we go to the next Rashi. Lahalu mamshuch Rashi bepirushay. In the next Rashi continues and he says, "Umatik is atevis es ha'arev." He quotes the word es ha'arev. Umafarish, and he explains, "Kol minechayis rois," that it means a mixture of all kinds of wild animals, v'nachoshim v'akravim, and snakes and scorpions, birvuvya, in a big mixture. V'hoyu mashchisim b'hem, and they caused harm, damage by the destruction by the Egyptians. The Yesh Tam Bedover Ba'agoda, and in Agoda, in the Medrash, there is a reason for why this Makkah was chosen. B'chol Makkah Makkah, not only this Makkah, but every Makkah. Loma Zu V'loma Zu, why this Makkah was chosen, why that Makkah was chosen. And the reason is, B'tachsitza Mulchama, in the strategies of wars, Melochim Ba'aleim Keseda Malchus, when the kings run wage a war and so on, they go in a certain order. Shetzar al ir, first when they lay siege to a city, betchila mekalkel mayin aseha, first they undermine, they ruin the water supply. Ba'achakach toikim aleihem amariyim b'shefes, and then they make loud sounds with trumpets and shofars and so on, liyiram alu ha'avalam, to scare them and to confuse them, to panic them. And so also the frogs, they made all these noises and so on, which were very scary. As it's written in the Medrash of Rabbi Tanchuma. That's the Rashi. So we have to understand about this Rashi. Number one, Divrei Rashi Eilu Mekayrim Hu B'Medrash. The source of this Rashi is in the Medrash. Elo Shapirish Rashi Hu B'Shinu Loshem. But Rashi changes the wording slightly, somewhat. B'Medrash Yeshnam B'Nigeya La'Aminim Shabamakas Arav Beis Deis. In the Medrash, it quotes two opinions about what was contained in the Makkah of Arav. One opinion is Shayyadubim Arayis U'Namarim, that it was bears and lions and leopards. Bees. A second opinion was Yitzroim Yitushim, that it was bees and mosquitoes, that kind of mixture. V'hinei Zesher Rashi Einem Efaretz Zachayis Rois Lemineim Kedasa Aleph. The reason that Rashi doesn't specify the names of the animals that were involved as the first opinion in the Medrash, Hatam Pasha, the reason for that is obvious. Ki mistapik bozeh shemaskinu b'teira makloli b'chai Yisro, is because he's unsure. Rashi doesn't know specifically from the Pshutus or Mikra that it was lions or bears or leopards or other animals, and therefore why get involved in naming them, and you can just give a general name, the Chai Yisro, whatever they were. Especially that according to Pshut Shul Mikra, there's no evidence that it was dafka these animals as opposed to other wild animals. Certainly Rashi can say, as the second opinion says, that it was mosquitoes and bees, kefisha mechiach b'medesh anal atzmai, as the Medrash itself says, by the frogs it says that when the Makkah was over, the frogs all died on there in Mitzrayim, so that the Egyptians were not going to have any benefit from the skins or any part of a frog. But when it came to the Arev, where it was animals, and if they were to die in Egypt, they would have been able to skin the animals and get these furs and so on, expensive furs. And therefore, they all left so that they wouldn't have any benefit having them die there. Now, if the Arev was bees and mosquitoes, it would make more sense that they should die in Egypt and over there cause a foul odor and so on. That would have been better. Why do they have to leave? So it makes sense only if they were wild animals and not if they were bees and mosquitoes. And since Rashi also uses this idea of the Medrash that why the Arev left and the Tzfardim died on the spot, as Rashi says, and the Arev did not die like the in Mitzrayim, like the frogs died in Mitzrayim. Therefore, obviously, according to Rashi in the Pshut Shel Mikra, we can't say that they were bees and mosquitoes, and therefore Rashi doesn't say that. But the question is, after saying wild animals, why does Rashi add the words unachoshim v'akravid? There were also snakes and scorpions. Ain't a movement. This needs to be understood. Mimonavshach. Because either way, im bepashtus arev hu mikol minechayis rois kol gam nachoshim v'akravid. If the simple meaning of arev means all kinds of wild animals, including snakes and scorpions, im kein lo melo lefartam, then why does he have to specify the snakes and scorpions? He doesn't specify any of the other wild animals that were there. And if you'll say that on the simple level, in the simple meaning of the pshat, Chai Yisroes does not include snakes and scorpions, and that's why, and that's why Rashi has to specify them. So Hagufa, that in itself becomes a question. And all he had is Rashi know that there were also snakes and scorpions, if it's not included in the general term of Chai Yisroes, or in the general term of Arev. Beis, another question about this Rashi. Madua mefarish Rashi dafke b'posuk zeh sheyesh tam bedover. Why does Rashi now suddenly explain here by Arev that there is a reason why these b'chol maka, there's a reason for each maka, loma zu v'loma zu, why Hashem brought those specific makas? If on the simple level, for a child, you need to understand why Hashem chose certain makas, why Hashem brought that one, then he should have explained this right at the beginning, at the early makas, the very early makas, or even by the very first one. Why these were chosen and why in this order? Why does he wait until Arev, which is the fourth Makkah, to begin to explain why that there is a specific order and so on, the specific choice of makas and the order. Yesh mefarshim, some explain, shavasholosh makas rishonish lehutzrach Rashi levayris taimum. By the first three, he doesn't have to explain the reason for the makas. Ki muvenu mamashikosabem lefneze, because it's understood, we understand the reason for those first three makas from the pasuk itself. Hamakas shel dam v'tzvardeya heim bechdei lehalkes al yodam es yirosam. The reason dam and tzvardeya were chosen was in order to strike out against their god, their idols. K'mefurish b'Rashi, as Rashi says, gabe makas dam. Umitzrayim oivdim l'nilus, the Egyptians worshipped the Nilus, the Nile. L'fika hilka eshiros, and therefore the first makkah was struck against the Nile, their idol. V'achakach hilka esim, and then he went on to strike them as well, in the later makkahs. V'lacheni makkah reshein, and that's the reason that was the first one, dam. Shabohuksa yirosim mamish, because in that makkah, he literally changed and struck and ruined the actual Nile. It turned into blood. The gamba makas tzvardeya, also in the second one, the frogs, hare kosov ksiv, it says in the pasuk, v'shara tayyur tzvardim. Where did the frogs come from? They came up from the river, from the Nile. The gamba rashi mefurish, Rashi also says there, levisha hegin ayyur al moisha, and Rashi explains that because the river, the Nile, protected Moshe when he was born, and his mother put him into the basket, and so on. So therefore, leilok al yodei, therefore Moshe was unable to be the one that would strike, that would cause makas dam and tzvardeya. Therefore, Aaron did it, loy bedam loy betzvardim, and therefore he didn't do it neither with the blood or with the frogs. So in other words, we see from here, also of course, he didn't do it by the lice either, but that was for a different reason. So from this we see that the frogs were also a strike against the river, against the Nile. That's why Moshe wasn't able to do it, because he had to show respect to the Nile for protecting it. But in the case of the frogs, it wasn't that the river itself became ruined. It only that the river was the one that gave forth this horrible makkah. So therefore, first he actually ruined the Nile itself, then he caused the Nile to give forth a makkah, and that's why it came second after dam. And then we get to l'makkas kinim, gamba tama hakaasa muvan muchach minyana. The reason for why kinim came third is also obvious from the very nature of the makkah, because it was through the makkah of kinim that the Egyptian sorcerers finally came around to say, no, this is beyond us, and it's the hand of God, the finger of God. So we understand why the first three makkahs were chosen. We understand that from the pasuk itself. The pasuk itself explains it. But now when Rashi gets to the fourth makkah, now the question becomes, lama makkah zu dafka? Why was Orif chosen now? Now he gives the reason for the entire picture, that this is a strategy, a tactic, these are tactical ways of undermining the enemy, and so on. So that's how they explain it. That's how some people explain why Rashi only explains it now about why the order of the makkas and why these makkas. Ulam piruze einam uvan klal. But this explanation needs to be explained. It has questions. Number one, im kavanos shor Rashi ba'avos hamedesh levar be'ikeres taimish shol makkas orev. If Rashi was trying to explain, because we have explanations for the earlier three, now we have to explain the fourth one. Why is it that he never actually specifies the reason for Arev? He merely sends you to Medrash Tanchuma if you want to see the order of all the 10 makas. What does he tell us? He tells us for the first two. If the first two we know already are reason, why does he have to tell us the reason for the first two? if he sets out to explain the reason for Arev, then he should have at least said Arev. Instead, he gives us reasons for the first two, for which we already know reasons. And for Arev, he says, if you want to know the reason for this one, look in Tanchum. There is another question. Well, the Idach Gisa, this one is goes the other way. The Svaras Amafarshim and Alba Pirush Rashi. According to the thought of those commentators, that they gave this reason, Shetamei, Em Shal Gimel Makas Rishonis Yidum Apshutim, that the reasons for the first three Makas are known and obvious. L'chein Lehizbirim Rashi B'derech Shai L'ulam Makazu, which is the reason that Rashi doesn't say why was this one chosen and give the answer, because it's already given. Imke Madua Chayzer, or because it's obvious. Imke Madua Chayzer Rashi Ma'isim Ataymin. So if so, Rashi seems to go away from those three reasons, at least the two he specifies, and he goes away from the reasons that we just said, that it was in order to strike their idol, and he gives other reasons. He gives completely different reasons. If he's relying on the fact that we know reasons for the first three because they're in the Chumash, why does he go away from those reasons and give other reasons? Gimel, another point. Lefi Pirush Hanal, according to this explanation, Hemshech Hadibur Hazeh B'Pirush Rashi Ach V'Rag Bir Tamash Makazar of Labat. According to this, Rashi is setting out here to explain the reason for Arev. V'Hainushu Inim B'Fnei Atzvim V'Ein L'Shachas V'Hemshech L'Mash Kozul B'Fnei Zeh B'Oysa Hadibur Kol Min Achayis Rois. That then what it means is Rashi in this second part of the Rashi sets out to get on a different subject. The first part of the Rashi was explaining what Arev is. The second part of the Rashi is explaining why these are chosen and why Arev was chosen, what's the reason for Arev. So v'areyidu aklal, if that's the case, we know the rule. The b'makom sh'Rashi mazeh beiz inyonim nifrodim b'pirusha shel teva echad, that where Rashi gives two different explanations about the same, even the same word, a teva sachodes, or a number of words from the pasuk, azumaitik teva zupamayim. If they're two completely separate subjects on the same word, like in this case, where the first part is merely explaining what Arev is, the second part is explaining why Arev was chosen. So there are two different subjects on the word Arev. Then, according to the rule, lifnei kol inyan b'fnei atzma, he would quote the word Arev, explain the first concept, what Arev is, then quote the word Arev again and explain why Arev was chosen. For instance, just previously in the Makkah of the Frog, Shematik Tevis A'atir Oidapam, where he's explaining two ideas in the word Atir, and he quotes it once, then he explains Atir, and then he quotes it again and explains Atir. So based on this, Gamanid Nidan Hoy Lil Rashi Latik is Arev Oidapam, he should have quoted the word Arev again, in order to separate these two separate subjects on the word Arev into two separate Rashis. And he lumps them together into one long narrative. Gimel, a third thing, Batam, Lemakas Dam, in the reason for why Dam was given, maybe Rashi Rakas HaMashul Mebli Lahazbir Muvani Benimshul. Rashi only gives the Mashul, like that in the tactics of war, they first ruin the water source. So that's all he says, but he doesn't say how it translates to the Yair that he turned the river into blood. But in Makas Svardeya he also gives how it relates to here. He tells you first they make noise, they do things to make noise and to cause confusion and panic, and then he tells you how it was here, that in our case it was the frogs that Makarkarim Vahimim, they made also these noises. So then the question is, my Benayu, why over there does he not give you the Nimshol, how that happened in Mitzrayim? A little bit, I guess you could say that it's so obvious and doesn't need to be said, but still. Dalit. Mizeh Sherashi Magdim B'Yesh Tam B'Dover B'Agoda. when Rashi says there is a reason for this in the Medrash, Muvan, we understand from the She'ena Pirush Lofi Pshutus Mikra, that he's saying, he actually says it outright. This is not an explanation according to Pshutus Mikra, it's rather an Agada. It would seem that this is something which is fits quite well with the Pshut Shel Mikra as well. Why does Rashi have to preface it by saying that it's merely an Agada, not Pshut Shel Mikra? He seems to be taking it away from the Pshut Shel Mikra. Number five, Lama Masayim Rashi Kid Isa B'Medrash Rabbi Tanchuma. Why does he conclude by saying, as is found in Medrash Tanchuma, Harei Ein Dagesh Rashi L'Tzayinam Mokel L'Dvarav? Rashi normally does not give sources for what he's quoting. Im Loi B'Mokel Shenegei L'Pirush HaKosav. Unless, of course, telling you where it is explains something about the pasuk itself. Well, Mai Nafkei Min HaKam, why is it here that he does tell you where it is? And why does it divide this itself into two separate things? One at the beginning, because of Etchilas Pirusha Yesh Tambag Adover Ba'agoda. First, he prefaces the pshat by saying there is a reason that is in Agoda. And then he gives you the specific place in Agoda where it is. Why doesn't he just put it both together? He could have said right at the beginning, there's a reason for this in Medrash Tanchuma. Why does he also quote from the pasuk the word S when he's only trying to explain the word Arev? We know what S means. So why does he have to quote the word S? As we know that Rashi in his quoting from the pasuk is also very particular and specific. So we have a whole bunch of questions on these two Rashis. Habir b'cholze. So the explanation of this whole subject is b'chol maka umaka bein oisim shalifnei maka sora bein oisim shalachreha. By each and every makkah, whether the ones before Arav or even the ones after Arav, hare puronosa b'teichen einsha muvim v'nikir. We understand what the makkah is. By the blood, it says that the water will turn to blood and the fish will die. By the tzvardim, the frogs will invade Mitzrayim and they will drive everybody crazy. By the kinim, they will be on the people and on the animals and so on. And same with every single makkah. It tells you what the nature of the makkah was. What happened? How it was a punishment? Imitach divrei Esra, we see it either from the way from the warning shenitna lepare lefnei avos hamakah. Sometimes it was given to pare as a warning: if you don't send the yidden out, I will do so and so, which will cause you so and so. Oy ba'isin hamakah shlekod melem asra, or in those makas where the Torah doesn't say that Moshe warned pare so and so. So then it comes mitayich divrei Hakadosh Baruch Hu l'Moshe be'eish tzivoh la'aseh ha'pa'ula la'avias hamakah. Otherwise, it comes from in the instruction that Hashem gave to Moshe, do so and so, and bring upon the Egyptians this and that makah, and which will cause them so and so. V'ha'inu she'yodim ma'u yakor kodim shalom demachkach ma'avaosah b'poil. In other words, that we always know what's coming, what the nature of the makah is, what exactly happened, what the harm, the damage that it caused. Masha'en ke b'makas orev, when it comes to the makah of orev, sheba hasra'osa le'nemer ela hine ni mashliach b'cha, the only thing that it says is, I will set against you as ha'orev, the mixture, the potpourri. Orev means a mixture of things, a whole bunch of different things together. U'molo bat Mitzrayim, and this mixture, whatever it is, will fill the homes of the Mitzrayim, and also the earth upon which they are. It doesn't tell you what exactly is this arev, a mixture of what? What kind of harm is it going to cause? So that leaves the question, what exactly is arev? So that leaves us, that leaves Rashi with the he's forced to understand that the word mashliach b'cha is the from where we know what exactly the mixture of what. And because throughout the Makas Arev, that's all he keeps repeating, Es Ha'arev, Es Ha'arev, Es Ha'arev. So it doesn't tell you, it never tells you a mixture of what. All that it's telling you is that it is a mixture. And that it's a mixture that's going to reach everywhere. It's going to get into Bacha, and to you, and into your homes, and to the earth, and so on. Well, that's all it says, a mixture that's going to invade everything and everywhere. L'chaim pirush Rashi, therefore Rashi explains that mashliach b'cha megara b'cha, that the word mashliach b'cha means to send against you. Shemitzad ha'echrech ha'muvel el sif aleph. As we know from earlier, at the beginning, lefarish mashliach megara, that mashliach doesn't mean send, it means to set against you. Yuvan gam mi uma hu ha'orif. From the fact that it's being set against you, we understand what exactly this mixture of what it is. Mi sheshayach b'inyan agirui. It has to be something which you can set something against someone. What is that? V'hayinu b'lechayim. You can set plants against people. You can set animals against people. They can invade, they can attack, and so on. And therefore, now that we understand from the word mashliach that I'm going to set them against you, we understand that when you set therefore it must mean an animal. So if you set an animal against a person, it's going to attack, it's going to bite, it's going to destroy, and so on. So therefore, from the word mashliach, we understand what exactly was the Arab, a mixture of what? It was a mixture of animals that were attacking the people. And therefore, what is the punishment? Hashem will set against the Egyptians many animals in a big mixture, and they will bite and harm, destroy the Egyptians. And since the Torah, the only thing that the Torah focuses on here, the only thing that it mentions is that it's going to be a mixture. Mikola Protim Shabamaka, from all the details that must have been there, you know, there were lions and a tiger, it doesn't say anything. He just says a mixture. That's all he tells us about. Actually, Pirsha is a Iker Lechaira. And he doesn't even mention what the main problem was, Shabo Chayas, that there are animals. You would think that the first thing is there's wild animals attacking. That's the main thing. All the Torah says a mixture, continuously emphasizing that it's a mixture. And the fact that it's animals were only alluded to from the word mashliach, therefore we understand that it was animals. But what is actually specified as the mixture, Machriach Loimar, that forces us to say Shaideze Yizbarer Dover Shaloi Hoyoyde Mesabalav Hochi, that the word Arev, that the mixture, that is going to clarify something that we wouldn't know otherwise. The who and that is Iker Achidush Vahanes Beneze Shabo Chayes, the main thing about this miracle, of this Makkah, that the animals came, Hoyeshabo Harbemine Chayes Bavuvia. The Chidush was, what was novel and different about this invasion of animals was that there was a big mixture of all kinds of animals. But the other details, that they were being attacked by animals, that in itself is not so unusual and strange that it needs to be mentioned. The fact that they came as a big mixture of all kinds, that was what was so unusual. That was the miracle. That's clear from the fact that the Torah keeps telling us that it was Arev, the Arev, that's what it's about. So therefore we must say, therefore we must say that the mixture that came was only wild animals, not domesticated animals. Because if we were to accept that the cows and the sheep and the goats were all causing harm and they were attacking the people, that would have been a great chiddush. What if all of a sudden the goats are attacking the people, lambs are attacking people, the animals which usually walk around very docile, they're suddenly attacking people? That would have been a very important part of this makkah. Well, because of B'tevas Arev, Mochel Shekol Iker Anas HaYiraka Arev, Ir V'Vachayis, and from the fact that the Torah just keeps emphasizing Arev, it seems that that's the big news, and not that lambs, sheep are attacking people. So therefore, we must say that there were no domesticated animals. This was exclusively wild animals, and therefore, wild animals attacking people, that's nothing, you know, that's quite understandable, and therefore you wouldn't consider that a part of the Ness. And therefore the Ness remains the Arev. Amlam l'fizi yikshe, but according to this we have this question. Im hoyu b'makah zu rak chayis ha-mashchisois, if this makah only had animals which by nature are destructive, mat soirach b'girim yuchad, then why do they have to be set against them? What, like, you don't need, if there's a lion comes amongst people, he doesn't have to be set against anybody. He will cause damage. Bimbo gam behemoth, if there had been cows and sheep and goats that were also part of this problem, then Hashem would have to say, I'm going to set your goats against you. Normally they just stand around munching grass. No, I'm going to set them against you. But because then they would have to do something which is unnatural to them. But if he's sending lions and tigers and whatever, so then that's natural to them. So why does he have to set them against them? All he has to do is release them into the population. They are going to do their harm. Why does there have to be a special word, mashliach, I will set them against you? So therefore, to answer this question, he adds, and this was shisui, incitement. The kavanos bezeh, what he means by that is ki av shenekudas apirish b'tevas mashliach hi megare. Even though the main meaning of the word mashliach means I will set them against you, mekol makom yeshnem dargas begirui. There are different levels of how much you can set an animal against against something else. Yesh girustam, there is setting them against them. You know, sick, go. Sheina choser b'chayis, and that an animal doesn't really need that because by nature it's going to do that anyway. The yesh giru chazuk, but then there is another way that you can incite an animal against a person. Shenikra shisui, and that is expressed by the word shisui, which means a greater degree of incitement. Shemegarim esachayu sheyaziku b'teikav gadol, that you cause the animal to cause extreme harm. Yoisim ederach haragel, even more than they would naturally be inclined to do. Like, you know, we know that the Romans or whatever, they would starve the animals for a week beforehand and then release them against a person. That's incitement. The kan shamadu baru b'chayis. And now that we're talking about chayis morchalem shagiru haya b'chayzik b'ayfen shol shisui, we therefore have to say that the incitement was extraordinary, even for normally wild animals. Otherwise, why call it incitement? Why call it, I'll set them against you, I'll just release them and they'll do their harm? So therefore, mashliach means more harm. I will cause them to do additional harm. And even that was not considered to be the great miracle of this Ness, since animals are inclined to cause damage, whether more or less, depending on the level of incitement that was caused. And therefore, even in their extraordinary type of incitement and destructiveness, it's still within the normal range of what animals do. And therefore, the miracle is not really the mashchisim, the fact that they're incited, but rather the arev still remains the news. That's why Rashi chooses the pasuk and the about behemoths that I will send against you. And not from the pasuk in Bechukaisai about wild animals. Chayes asada. First, he's explaining the meaning of mashliach, what it means, shehi megadah, that it means to set against. Maybe Rashi meposika medubar bebehemus, and to explain that it means to set against, that he brings the raya from domesticated animals. Shebom shayach ikir inyan agiroi, because it's by domesticated animals where the idea of setting an animal against someone is more meaningful, because normally they don't do anything like that. And Hashem says, I will set them against you. But by a normal wild animal, you don't even have to set them against anyone. They just do their harm anyway. Therefore, Rashi chooses dafke a raya from the pasuk of behemoth. Since domesticated animals don't normally cause harm on their own, and then after Rashi explained the concept of setting an animal against a person, Rashi has to continue to explain that in our case, since we're talking about wild animals, in which case you don't really have to set them against anyone because they do that by nature. Therefore, he goes to the next step, that over here it was a greater incitement than normally would be the natural even for a wild animal. Because the normal setting against doesn't apply to wild animals. Therefore, mashliach in this case doesn't merely mean setting against, because we're not talking about behemoths, we're talking about incitement in a much bigger way. Al pi anal yuvan, so based on this, we'll understand shemash Rashi mamshul bepirush hateves as ha'orev, that when Rashi continues his explanation on the word as ha'orev, and he says kol min echayis rois unuchashim ba'kraven birvuvia v'yimashchitzim b'hem, that it was all kinds of wild animals and snakes and scorpions, and they were causing harm, they were destroying them. Ein ikrei lefaret mihaya ba'orev. He's not coming here. In essence, he's not coming to explain what kind of a mixture, which animals were included in the mixture. Because, or that it was animals that were, rather, what he's saying is, Rashi is not coming to tell us that it was animals that were part of the mixture, because that we understand from Mashliach B'cha. We've dealt with that already. We're talking about wild animals. That's what it's about. So what is he trying to say here? For the most part, he's coming to say Shekavonos Hakozuk Davis Ha'orev Hi Shabo Bar Vuvia. The pasuk is telling us that they came as a big mixture of all different kinds of animals. V'chizeu Anes, and that is the miracle. V'achidush Yechidi, and the novelty of this, the only novelty of this makkah. In addition to the very fact that animals were causing harm, but the novelty was that there was a mixture of animals. And since we have to say, now he has to say that they came as a mixture, so he also adds that it was all kinds of wild animals and snakes and scorpions, because now he's trying to explain what is it about this mixture in this makkah. That's why he also includes the word es, in order to emphasize that the main chiddush is that they came as a mixture. Because if this were not the whole novelty of this makkah, and there was only one detail, that they came as a mixture, okay, that's another detail. What does it mean when it says in the pasuk, I will set against you the mixture? The mixture means that this is an important part of it. The mixture means that's the issue at hand. It's the mixture which I'm sending against you. And therefore, by naming it the mixture, it means that this is the main point of this makkah. And this is the proof of Rashi. In addition to what we said before, since the Torah keeps repeating ha'arev, and therefore that seems to be what's so outstanding about this makkah. But in addition to that, by naming it the mixture, that's another proof that this is what it's about, that it was a mixture. In other words, that Rashi over here is merely trying to say that it was a whole bunch of animals, all kinds of animals, including Nachashon Bakrabin, which will soon explain why he specifies Nachashon Bakrabin. But the point is that he's teaching us that it's about the mixture of animals. Kol mine chayis rois. This explains why Rashi doesn't, although he explained it before, but it gives a better explanation of why Rashi doesn't name what the Medrash says, lions and the leopards and bears and so on. Why? Ein klal haychocha b'pshudus v'mikra ezech ha'yisrael nimtzu b'zman ahu b'gvul mitzrayim etzivaseh. We have no reason, we don't know what animals were common in that part of Mitzrayim in those days. What kind of animals were there, you know, in that area? And therefore we have no reason, we don't know that there were actually bears and lions and leopards in the Egyptian continent, the country of Egypt. But if Rashi chose to say what the Medrash says, that it was lions and leopards and bears, it would seem, it would turn out that that's a part of the miracle. The Eibishter brought lions from Africa, from South Africa, wherever they are, and the bears from wherever they come, and so on. He imported animals from a distance to come to Mitzrayim, but and that would of course be another part of the miracle. So there, and he doesn't want to get in. That seems not to be the miracle here. It seems to be only that it's a mixture. And therefore Rashi says it was a bunch of wild animals. I don't know which animals actually lived in the area at the time, but it would have been the animals that live in that area. Because the Eibishter didn't want to make another miracle to bring, import other wild animals. In other words, the animals that were common in the area of Mitzrayim, and he doesn't have to specify which animals they were. Zayin. Mitamanal, Yuvan Gamkina, Hechach the Rashi, Lefarish, Hoyusham Gam Nachoshim Bakravim. For this reason, we can now understand why Rashi has to specify that there were also snakes and scorpions. Why is that? The pasuk zemesayim begama adomar sheim aleh. The pasuk says that they will invade b'cha ubebate or kol bate Mitzrayim, all the homes, and on also the earth which they walk upon, which the Mitzrayim walk upon. Im hayakasav umalei arves bate Mitzrayim begama adomar sheim aleh. If it would have said that the arev, the mixture, will fill the homes of the Mitzrayim and also the earth upon which they walk. Ha'arev hua ikeh b'kasuv, then the focus would have been the arev. Hayamakam loymar ki heim nusav ala ikeh. That the word heim, ash hadama asher heim aleha, the earth upon which they are, would be the talking about the subject of the pasuk, which is the arev. They will also fill the earth upon which they, meaning the animals, walk upon. Ha'arif, ava mekimin shekosu umalu batu Mitzrayim es ha'arif. Since the pasuk says, the arif will fill the homes of the Mitzrayim, batu Mitzrayim ha'ikir. So therefore, the batu Mitzrayim becomes the focus, that they will fill the homes. Who? The arif. Ha'rezekilu kosov, it's as if it's said in the pasuk, umalu batu Mitzrayim, the homes of Mitzrayim will be filled with ha'arev. The gam adam asher abatim oy ha'mitzriim aleha maleyas arev would also mean that also the earth upon which they, meaning the homes are the subject of the pasuk. They are the central figures of the pasuk right now. So the homes, the earth upon which the homes stand, or the homes upon which the Egyptians walk, will be filled with the Arev also. Vaidvikar, and mostly, most importantly, b'chol parshazua Arev hu loshin yachid. The word Arev is always in the singular. It talks about the mixture, the group of animals. The Yavai, the Sar, and he will come, he will leave, Vayasar, and he left, not Vayasuru, and they left, the animals. Vayasar means the mixture, the whole group of animals left. So if it's being treated as a singular group, so then it shouldn't say Asher Heim Aleha if it's talking about the Arev, that they are upon. We're talking about the Arev, the group. It should say Ashahu Aleha. So therefore, it's not talking about the fact that the Arev walks upon the land. Therefore, we must say that in the simple meaning of the pasuk, Shakavona Basher Heim Aleha, that when the pasuk says that they are upon, he labotim elamitzriim, it's talking about the earth upon which the homes stand, or that the Mitzrayim walk upon that land. Shalei rak yimolei ha'arev es habotim, in other words, that it's not only that the arev will fill the homes, eli yimolei gam es ha'adam es habotim ha'atzriyim ha'idim aleha, but that the arev will also fill the earth upon which the Egyptians walk. In other words, if the asher heim aleha referred to the arev itself, that they will fill the homes of the Mitzrayim as well as the earth upon which they walk. In other words, that the Arev walks, that they'll be all over the place. That's what it means. But since the Heim Aleha can't be referring to the Arev for the number of reasons that he gave, therefore Asher Heim Aleha means the earth upon which the Egyptians walk. Behainu, so therefore, what does that mean? In other words, that the Arev will fill the earth upon which the Egyptians walk. What does that mean? It means that the Arev will also invade the earth. They will infiltrate the earth upon which the Egyptians walk. But that would be something very unusual and taka miraculous. That lions are going to burrow into the earth. That's very unusual, and that would be outstanding and noteworthy about the miracle. This is something which is a completely unnatural for animals to burrow into the earth. And therefore that would contradict that which the pasuk seems to be saying all along, that the whole focus, that the miracle was the fact that there was a mixture. Therefore Rashi must say, in order to answer this problem, Rashi says there were also snakes and scorpions involved. That it's their very nature that they burrow into the ground, they slither under the ground, they go into holes and so on. This is something that we actually know from the pasuk already. Earlier in the pasuk, it says by Yosef that they threw him into a pit, and that the pit was empty, there was no water. Rashi tells us right there, Mayim Aimbay, that there was no water there. Aval Nachashim Akrabim Yeshbet, but there were snakes and scorpions. Hareshin Nachashim Akrabim Nimtsoim Betiva Bebedish Betechoris. In other words, Rashi already told us that snakes and scorpions do go into the ground, they do find themselves in holes under the ground. And therefore it's not unnatural for these animals to burrow into the ground, and therefore when it says they will fill the ground upon which they, the Egyptians, walk, it means that the earth will be filled with snakes and scorpions. But Rashi, in order to make this, in other words, that how does Rashi know that also Nechashim Akravim, that comes from the words, Vagam Adama Sher Heim Aleha. So maybe you should have said that in the quote. Vagam Einam Ramzam Vagaymer. It doesn't even allude to it by saying Vagaymer and the continuation of the pasuk. Kikom, or the reason is because, as we said, Kan ein ikir yon shel Rashi lefaret mina achayish hevi Hakadosh Baruch Hu b'makas orif. The intention of this Rashi is not to give us an explanation of what kind of animals were there. That's not the point. The point is kim lahadik shibor bar vuvya. The main point of the Rashi is just to emphasize that it was a big mixture of animals. And it's only as an aside, in order to explain that issue of Hadoma Sharem Aleo, that he also tells us that there were snakes and scorpions. But that isn't the general thrust of the Rashi. The thrust of the Rashi is there was a big mixture. He tells you a few names of the animals, just to explain a few words in the pasuk. But that isn't what his focus is, and therefore he doesn't quote those words and he doesn't allude to it. Just tells you that it was a big mixture. But now the question is, we've been saying again and again, without explaining, that the big news was that there was a big mixture of animals, big miracle. But the question is, what's such a big news about that? Why is that such an important and significant factor of the makkah? That this becomes the very chiddush, the only thing that the Torah mentions about this makkah. Rashi, so after this, Rashi continues, and he says, "V'yashtam b'dover ba'agoda," that there's a reason for this, which is explained in Agoda. V'chol makkah makkah loma zu v'loma zu, to explain about each makkah why it was chosen. Shayideze yuvan goydla chiddush she ba'orev, because through this he's trying to explain what's so significant about the orev. In the tactics of wars that kings conduct, they come against the enemy, and so when they ruin the water source, and then they make noises in order to scare them and to panic them, and so also the frogs made those noises. Nimtza, in other words, Nimtza Eifesh, Echad Me'ikatach Sisa Mulchamed, that one of the main tactics of this conducting of this war, Ulasis Pa'ulis Liyara Mulahav Levalam. One of the main things is to panic the enemy, to scare the enemy. Valdelazo B'makas Arev, and this is what happened by Makas Arev. Tam Shehevias Achais Bervuvyahu Kedei Liyara Mulavalam. The reason that he brought this multitude of different types of animals against them was in order to cause panic. Because if there is, I don't know, there's an invasion of lions, so it's quite within the norm of, you know, some lions invaded. Okay, it's a terrible thing, but it's not a horrible, horrible panic. But when many different types of many species come of barvuvia and they're all mixed together, then it becomes a much greater panic. When a person is afflicted by one thing, so then you deal with it. You try to deal with it. But if a whole bunch of different things happen at the same time, you give up, you don't know where to start. So therefore, when there were many animals, that was part of the panic that it was causing. And that's the reason for the orif. And since Rashi here, by explaining this, is trying to explain what's so significant about the mixture of the animals, maybe Rashi that's why he brings this whole narrative of the Medrash dafke here by Orif. In fact, inside the Rashi, in which he already started explaining, well, maybe Raktam Beishul Makas Rishonis. And this is also the reason that he only brings the first two makas. First, to explain what does it mean ubehemshech, and in continuation to the beginning of this Rashi, which is that it was all about ba'arvuvia, that it was all about oroi. That's what it's about. So he comes to explain that with this medrash, and also only needs to bring only the first two reasons for the first two makas. And the rak ad l'tam makas fadei. In other words, all he has to do is get to the Svardeya reason. The lo yosef, he doesn't have to go past that. Because the main point of Rashi bringing this whole medrash was in order to make the point that they were making these noises in order to panic them. So therefore that explains why they brought Orif to panic them. But just to get to Tzvardei, he explains also Dam first, because that's how the Medrash starts. But after that, he doesn't have to explain anymore. The rest is understood. You want to know more reasons for all the Makas? Go look it up. Which of course explains why Rashi only tells us how the Makas Tzvardeia related, how the tactic that kings do relates to the Makas Tzvardeia in Mitzrayim. Because he wants to explain specifically that point, that the reason is in order to cause panic. So therefore he brought how the frogs brought panic. From this we understand that the big mixture also brought panic. But he has to first say that this is something which comes from Agoda. Even though it doesn't go against the Pshudosh Mikra in any way, so why does he have to specify it as a Haggadah? Ki b'Pshudosh Mikra yoidim tamim acherim b'makas Eila, because according to Pshudosh Mikra we already know the reasons for the first three makas, so why is he suddenly changing the reasons on us? As we said before, that by Dan Tzvardeia was in order to strike the idol. By Kinim, it was in order to show the sorcerers that this was Hashem's work. And therefore Rashi has to say, we already know what the reasons are, but here is another reason which is brought in Agod, which will explain. But this Agada will explain to us about the fourth Makkah, why the fourth Makkah was brought dafka as a big mixture, because of course these reasons don't in any way contradict the Pshutus Al Mikra. It's just giving another reason which fits fine with the Pshutus Al Mikra, but it's not essential to understanding the first three Makkahs in any case. Whereas the reasons that he gave earlier for Dam Tzvardeia and Kinin, they are within the Pasuk. They are actually explained in the Pasuk. So they are the primary Pshutus Al Mikra. The Agada explains to us about Orev, but it's not the essence of Dam Tzvardeia and Kinin, and therefore he tells us that this is Agada. But the matter is still not perfectly clear and smooth. Even though what we're going to say now is not really a big question, and therefore it's only the answer to it is only sort of alluded to by Rashi. But who and that is? Hein emes ki ma shebo bar vuvya inyon godl hu amavalvolam. It's true that the fact that they came in such a big mixture of different animals was something important which was caused panic. But still, why is that the only thing that is mentioned in the Pasuk? So much so that it would seem as if the fact that there are wild animals causing all kinds of attacks and so on, that doesn't even need to be mentioned. The fact that they came and a big mixture and they cause panic, that's the main thing. But is it really the fact that the animals were killing people, that isn't noteworthy? That's not doesn't need to be mentioned. Well, Zem Esayim Rashi Umaramis, that's why Rashi concludes his Pirush, and through this alludes to Kid Isa B'Medesh Rabba Tanchuma, that it's this is brought in Medesh Tanchuma. Why? Shom behemshech l'inyan hanal, over there in the Medrash Tanchuma, as he continues on this subject, mesuper asher karkurim hoya kosher l'mashchasasam. He says that the noises and the roaring and some of the noises that they made were even worse than the killing that they were doing. U'mezeh muvan gam negel. That's by the frogs. That's written by the frogs, that the noises that they made were even worse for the people than the actual damage that they made. So we understand also in regards to the Arif, that this was, Rashi says it's even worse, the noises are even worse. The panic that it causes is even worse than the actual harm that it does. Therefore, explaining and at least alluding to the fact that yes, the Arif is more important than the actual harm that they did. And that's why Rashi also says the word v'cholu. Even though, according to this, it's not important here. He says v'cholu in regards to the whole explanation of the makas. Now that we've explained that he was only trying to explain tzfardeya in order to explain the panic issue, so you don't even have to go look at the rest. It's not negeya here. Why does he say v'chulu as if he wants you to look for more? Now we understand why he wants you to look for more. Because he doesn't mean by v'chulu you can look up the rest of the reasons for the other makas of medish. That's not negeya here. Rather, what he's pointing you to is to what the Medrash also says there, that the noises that the frogs made was worse than the harm that they were causing. Halpi ha'omer le'el, based on what we just said, she'iker atam l'gimel makas rishonim b'pshutus l'mikra ein atam ha'medrash, that the main reason for the first three makas is not what the Medrash gives about the tactics, kim l'halkas yirotzim l'haris l'chartumish v'etzul l'kimi, but rather, according to Pshutus Umik, the main reason for the first three makas is to strike their idol and to make sure that they understand that it's Hashem's work. Yuvan Oid Inyan, that will explain another thing about Arif. The makas Arif ksi kosov achakach. Afterwards, by Arif it says, "V'flesi be'imahu es eretz goyshen asher ami oimed aleha." I will show the difference. I will set apart on that day, meaning by Arif, the land of Goshen that my people live upon, you know, in Goshen, levilti yosham Arif, that over there will not be no Arif. She'etzel b'nei Yisrael lo yosham makas Arif, but the Yidden there was no maka of Arif. The kasha, so we have to understand, lama lo kasha begimu makas rishonish lo yosham b'nei Yisrael. Why doesn't it say by the first three makas that it didn't affect the Yidden? If it's something that is so obvious that the Yidden were not struck by the Makas, why does the Torah have to say it now by Arav that it didn't affect the Yidden? In regards to this question, there are a number of opinions. Eben Ezra writes, in my opinion, the Eben Ezra says, the first three makas of Dam, Tzfardeya, and Kinim also included the Yidden. Ve'eila shalosh ma'ati ziku. And these three makas caused a little bit of harm for the Yidden, not the kind of harm that it did to the Mitzrayim, but somewhat it did affect them. Rak makas ha'orev shayis ha'kosha, but since makas ha'orev, in other words, that... No, it's rather what he's saying is that the three first makas were only, they caused discomfort, they caused annoyance and so on, they're uncomfortable, but they didn't really cause all kind of horrible harm. But when it came to, and therefore it affected also the Yidden. Rak makas ha'orev shayis ha'kosha, but when it came to orev, which was a very harmful thing, animals killing people, Hashem hifrish bein ha'matzrim ben Yisrael, therefore the Eibishter made the separation that didn't cause any harm by the Yidden. In other words, the Eben Ezra says that the Yidden were affected by Dam Tzfardeya Kinim. Amnon Maradvaz b'tshuvasa kaisa, the Ravaz writes differently. He says, Umashakosavar the Eben Ezra, ki makas adam v'tzfardem v'kinim haisa l'mitzriyim l'Yisrael, that the makas dam tzfardeya and kinim did affect the Yidden. He says, "Also lahamid davazeh." You're not allowed to believe that. He completely discounts the Eben Ezra's approach. Kolshkin shaksuvim meirim lehepech, and certainly from the fact that the pasuk shows the opposite, as it says in the pasuk, "Lo yuchlu mitzrayim liyish lishtes v'nayir." it's the Egyptians that couldn't drink from the water, from the river. It was the Mitzrayim that had to dig around the water, around the river for water. Mashma, from this we see, Abel Yisrael lo yisrichem lozad. The Yidden didn't have to dig around for water; they had water. Because up there in Goshen, wherever they the water was unaffected. Ubetzfardim ksiv, by the frogs it says ubecha ubeamcha. He was the Pari was told you and your people. The Sarah Sfadim Mimcha Umibatecha, and later it says the Sfadim will be removed from you and your homes and your slaves, Umamcha, from your people. Mashmash Loya Bisrael. So we see that it wasn't by the Yidden, only the Egyptians. The Chena Kinim, also the same is true also for the Kinim, even though there is no proof in the Psukim of the Kinim, but the Yilmet Sasim and Amafurish, we can learn that which is unsaid from that which is specified. So just like he specifies by Damet Tzfardeya that it was only the Mitzrayim, the same we understand by Kinim too. The Lo Yadaiti Ima Maka Hoysa Gam LiYisrael Ma Raya Yesh Bo Lefarin. B'chlal I don't understand, says the Radbaz. If the Maka was also against the Yidden also suffered from the first three Makas, so then what is he trying to prove to Parai? She Shalach Hesh Yisrael, that he should send the Yidden away. The Jews are also suffering, it's not me. So therefore the Radbaz rejects the Ebenezer. Varambam bepirusha mishnayis kaisiv shemakas dam otzvardei lo yohoyi b'Yisrael klal. The Rambam in his pirusha mishnayis writes that the dam otzvardei did not affect the Yidden at all. Mashenke makas kinim hoysa gam behem aval lo yohoyi mitzarem hoysam. Whereas the makas kinim, it did affect the Yidden, in other words they had lice, but it didn't cause them pain, it didn't cause them discomfort. It was there, but you know, not a big deal. And since Rashi does not address this issue of why suddenly now by Arav does it say that Hashem will show the difference between the Yidden and the Mitzrayim, he doesn't even allude to it in any way. Therefore we must say that in the simple understanding of it, since only now does the Eibush say, I will make a difference between the Yidden and the Goyim, so therefore we must understand according to Pshut Shul Mikra that the first three the Yidden were affected by it. The Chaynira Gam Mashukozav the Tia Kinnim Ba'odom Ba'behema, as it says the Kinnim in regards to the lice, it says the lice affected the people and the animals. Adam Stam, it doesn't say the Mitzrayim, it says the people, all the people. And Pshut Shul Mikra, it's hard to say that the Mitzri, that the Kinim did not cause discomfort. Kiminolan came in Pshut Shul Mikra. Where do you see this in the Pshut Shul Mikra? Even though the Rambam says it, but in the simple understanding, where do we see such a difference? When again look at the Kasha Saradvaz, Loma Madgish Akosa Mitzrayim B'Makas Dam Mitzvardeya, the Radvaz brought proof from the fact that it says by the Mitzrayim in regards to the first two Makas. So then how is that resolved in Pshut Shul Mikra? Why Taka does it only say the Mitzrayim? Moving by Pashas, we can understand the explanation for that simply, Sharei Zeu Ha'ikir Ba'avos HaMaka, because that was of course the main purpose of bringing the Maka, that it should affect the Mitzrayim. That's why he only mentions that it affected the Mitzrayim. But the Jews, by the way, also had the what do they call it, collateral damage. The Jews were also collateral damage, but the main focus, of course, the pasuk doesn't have to speak about that, so it mentions only about the Mitzrayim. But the last question that the Radvaz asks, that's a good question. What is that question? Because if the whole purpose of the Makkah was to show Parei that will be punished if the Yidden are getting, so that he will send the Yidden out, so if the Yidden are also getting punished, so then it takes the pressure off him. Also the question is, why did the Yidden have to suffer through these Makkahs if the Eibishter can make the difference as he did by Orev, so why not do it by the first three as well? Ulam up here, and I'll move on, but based on this we can understand that if we assume, as Rashi does, that the first in Shudash Mikra, that the first two makas was in order to strike the idol of the Egyptians, had a move in Shukasher Yiraparisha by the Zar Shaloi Loike. When Pare sees that his God is being struck, Yukuyim by Bezais Tedak Yani Hashem, that will fulfill what Hashem wanted. Now you'll know that I am the only God. I can strike your idol. And therefore, if the Yidden also are included in the Makkah, in other words, the river in Goshen also turns to blood, that doesn't in any way diminish the fact that Paroi's idol was struck. The other rabbi, even more to the contrary, for this reason, the Yidden's water also had to be included, which means the Yidden's water means the river, the Avodah Zarah of the Mitzrayim, as it flowed through the Jewish neighborhoods, also had to be struck. Because the purpose was in order to strike the idol of the Mitzrayim. Wherever their idol is, the Makkah has to affect it. If it flows through Goshen over there too, it has to be affected. Imlo came, because if in those areas the river wasn't affected, Yachshiv Parei, then Parei could come up with the rationale, Shechelek Zema v'dezor shalin imtza b'Goshen g'yez v'godlu yezim v'chadzishol mekadosh baruch hu. He would say, aha, you see, this section over here is maybe weaker than your God, but that section over there, there's a more powerful expression of my God, and therefore Hashem couldn't affect the God as it is in that area, and therefore the entire river had to be turned into blood. And the same with the frogs, that everywhere the whole river was spewing forth frogs. The same is true by kinim. Since the point was that the sorcerer should acknowledge that it's Hashem's work, it was essential that the invasion of the lice should be so thorough and so complete that it's considered to be unlimited, infinite, meaning that Hashem's punishment doesn't stop, only goes so far. It's where everywhere, it reaches everywhere. B'chol Eretz Mitzrayim, in the whole land of Mitzrayim. Ki b'lav hachi, because it wasn't that way, hayo makom loyim ha-shenas la'idei mugbolim. There would be room to say that it was caused by something of a limited nature that could only reach a certain level, which means la'idei b'nei Adam, that it was done through people. Moshe v'Aaron, it may be Moshe or Aaron, Shachatumim Heim, K'meish Omer Bebeiz Makas Rishonis, that Moshe and Aaron, who they also considered to be mere sorcerers, so they have this better ability than us, and they can bring kinim, but only to a certain degree, they can only reach a certain level. Therefore, it had to be done in a way that was infinite. It reached everywhere, which would be a proof that it came from Hashem. And even though it's true that their sorcerers were not able to bring forth kinim, so they would say, yeah, okay, so Moshe and Aaron, they are more powerful in their sorcery than us. We can't bring it forth at all. Moshe and Aaron, they can bring it forth on, with 10 square miles or 20 square, whatever the place is. But they can't do it like Hashem would be expected to do it, that it invades everywhere. So they're in this way, they're greater than us. Therefore, kinim had to cover the entire country of Mitzrayim, and that was proof that it came from Hashem and not from a limited power.
Mashenkim v'makas arush lo'yehoyeh echach lozeh nemav yiflesi.
But now, by Makas Orev, there was nothing more to prove. It was already proven that Hashem could strike their idol, that Hashem can override their Chartumim. Now there's nothing more to prove. It's just a bunch of punishments. So therefore, now there's no reason that it has to also invade the Jewish areas. And that's why Hashem said, and I'll show that the Yidden will be unaffected by it. That's the Inyan B'Pshuto Shel Mikra. B'Pnimis Inyanim, to understand this more from a Hasidic, from the Chassidish perspective. Yeshleimer Atam, we can explain why the difference between the Yidden and the Goyim only came dafke by Orev. In the first three, there was no need to separate and to show the difference between the Mitzrayim and the Yidden. Because even if they did affect the Yidden, there would be no thought that the Yidden somehow should integrate or intermingle with the Mitzrayim. Whereas by Orev, where the Eibishter caused all the animals, which normally are distinct and groups onto each other, now he caused them all to mingle and to become one group. There could have been at least a thought that comes from Klippa, no, from the outside. It might be an indication to some that, oh, Hashem took away all separations, and why can't we all get along, and we should all be one people? And we all did. Eibishter even did it for the animals. Even the animals are getting along. We shouldn't get along. We have to be separate from the Egyptians. Just as Hashem took away the separation between the different animals and the snakes and the scorpions, and therefore somehow it could occur to someone that now it's time for the Yidden to become one with the Egyptians, and therefore now the Eibishter had to show that the separation still continues, the separation between Yidden and the Goyim. And therefore, at this time, it's important that I show the distinction between the Yidden and the Mitzrayim. Asher ami oimed aleh, that the place where my people are, v'samti b'dus bein ami u'bein amecha, and I will show the difference between your people and my people, he says to Parik. And the lesson to us is clear. It's that more essential when there is confusion and mixture, and that people don't know their limits, their boundaries in the world around you. And in a time when all the limitations and all the boundaries that normally existed, that always existed, now are completely broken. We live in a society where there are no boundaries. Thing that never happened before. There is a greater need to strengthen the separation between the Yidden and the rest of the nations. Because even then, when they were Mitzrayim before Matan Torah, before the Eibishter chose the Yidden in the way that he did for Matan Torah, and there was a mixture of the animals, and there was reason to believe that there isn't separation anymore, therefore the Eibishter made a miracle to make sure that the distinction is recognized between my people, the Eibishter's people, and your people, the rest of the nations. So certainly, without question, in our time after Matan Torah, for sure we always have to be careful to make sure that we understand the distinction between a Yid and a Goy. And this distinction wasn't about the good Jews it was about every single Jew. Even those that eventually rejected going out of Mitzrayim and therefore died in Mitzrayim, even they were shown to be separate from the Mitzrayim. Shemazay Roin Asefes. From this we have an additional lesson. Shemachitza v'abdoluzu ibnigelu cholish v'isha asher b'shem Yisrael yichuna. That this separation has to be for every single yid, if the only thing about them is that they're called a Jew. Even then, there's no. We have to save every single person from chas v'shalom becoming involved with a non-Jew. V'kasher b'nei Yisrael yechasku mechitza zu. And when the yidden will strengthen this separation. That will remove any mechitza that could still exist between the Eibishter and the Yidden. The whole echad v'achaz miYisrael yoshev b'tshuva shleima, and therefore every single Jew, man and woman, will return to Hashem with complete tshuva. Umiyadei megolim, and therefore they will immediately be redeemed. Begula mitzvah shleima, the Yisrael tzedkenu. May it happen. The Korav mamash.